And take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. Again, as Steve announced this morning, want to remind you about tonight. Hope to see you here, 6 o'clock. Looking forward to our Here We Go, a Caroling, together with you. And then, of course, following the service, we'll have our Cocoa and Cookie Fellowship. Amen. I love a good cup of hot cocoa, and I love a good tasty cookie. Amen. Hope you'll be able to be here with us. Again, want to remind you about our service on Tuesday night, Christmas Eve, and that'll be at 7 p.m., and we look forward to having you come and be with us. Looking forward to a wonderful time in the Lord there. Matthew chapter number 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 1, Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men, magi, from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Now, there are many aspects to the Matthew chapter 2 that we could speak to you about today. But we would like to focus our attention on one particular verse, and that'd be verse number 12. In verse 12 is our text this morning, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And Father, much like in our first service already held this morning, we are encouraged and encouraging each one to remember exactly why we're here today. Father, we're here especially this morning with thoughts in our mind about this time of the year. We reflect upon the incarnation, the putting on of human flesh of a baby, our God come in the flesh, born of a virgin. His name shall be called Jesus. He is our Emmanuel, our God with us. He is the Christ, the Messiah. And Father, for the next few moments, as we consider some thoughts surrounding these wise men, these magi, God, would you speak to our hearts today? You've promised that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're in the midst of them. So we're grateful today. You've encouraged us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, so we're here today. We're grateful. This is the Lord's day. Let us rejoice and be glad. We rejoice and we are glad. Again, we're grateful. Father, thank you for the music that Brother Steve led us in this morning to prepare our hearts and our minds. Thank you for the wonderful number that Brother Armin sang to us today. And Lord, now we pray, as your word is opened, may our hearts also be open. As your word goes forth, might we be receptive. And it's my prayer today that if there be any here, man, woman, a young person, who have yet to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that is, their sin forgiven and heaven a home for them, God, that they would come to know Him in a personal way this day. And speak to every heart today. Fill us with Holy Spirit power. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse number 12 again. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, if you do not mind making a notation, an underline, an underscore, circle, it would be wonderful if you took and underscored the last two words of that verse. Another way. Another way. I'd like to share some thoughts with you this morning about the way to go home. After the wise men had visited the Christ child, they were warned in a dream. They were warned in a dream that they were to return home not by the way they came, but they were warned in a dream to return home by another route. King Herod wanted them to come back through Jerusalem and reveal to him where the Christ child had been born. Now, looking at the scripture in totality this morning concerning the Christ child, we understand that it wasn't Herod's idea, this king, that he wanted the wise men, the magi, to let him know where the Christ child was born, that he would actually want to go and see the Christ child and fall down and worship him. That was not his intent. In fact, we read in the scripture, and what we know about Mr. Herod was that he was a very evil man. He was a very wicked king, and it's laid out for us in the Word of God what his true desire actually was. And that was not to worship the baby Jesus, but to kill the baby Jesus, and thereby removing a perceived threat to his throne. But the wise men went home a different way. Can I submit to you this morning that while they went home a different way geographically, the bigger picture, the bigger truth here is that they went home a different way spiritually. And this change in spiritual direction of their lives then, and the change that God looks for in the spiritual direction in our lives today, there's several applications here we find. And so I'd like to take a few moments and mention a few of these pertaining to the wise men, pertaining to the message we have here about the way to go home. Speaking about the way home, I just noticed Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Good to have you here. Amen, our Pensacola student. Amen. I don't know if that's on tape or not, or CD, but Mikhail's saying, yes, it is. Sarah Jochum's home. All right. Three things I'd like to share with you briefly today. The wise men and the way to go home. One, the wise men went home with a higher spiritual elevation, a higher spiritual plane, a higher spiritual walk. You know, generally following an exciting, satisfying, or awe-inspiring experience, there's often what? You know, we go through the highs and everything is rah, 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 roo, and then after it's all done, it's, oh, an emotional letdown. As the wise men journeyed to Bethlehem to see the one born King of the Jews, according to Matthew 2:2, there's something that I see here that not taking away from the Scripture and not adding to the Scripture, but as I've said to you on many occasions, when I'm reading the Scripture, I love to read it, close my eyes, jump in it, immerse myself in the Scripture. I love to see the sights and smell the smells and hear the sounds. Really get in, like I was part of the entourage. You know, maybe I was carrying somebody's bag, or maybe I was holding the rope leading somebody's camel along, you know. But I just want to be there. I just want to be a part of that experience. And so as we're reading the Word of God and seeing this, and as we're noticing the wise men journeying to Bethlehem, looking for that one who is born King of the Jews, the thought comes to my mind that there would be a natural curiosity that would be an added incentive to their steps then, just like there is a natural curiosity that's added to our feet today. When we see God working, we see miracles happening, we see prayer being answered, we just want to be a part of that as God is at work. Perhaps there were some questions that crowded their minds. Perhaps if you were one of them, if you were on that journey, you also would have some questions. Some of these questions I think of might be, what unusual qualities would this child have? We're going to find this one who is born King of the Jews. What will make them so special above everybody else? What? Question two, what would his appearance be? What is he going to look like? How will he sound? Three, who were his parents? We can't wait to meet his parents. Who are they? Who's the parents of this young one? How could they identify him as they got closer? Here's a big question as they're on the journey. Would the star continue to guide them? Is it going to faithfully lead them on the way? Do you know, the fact of the matter is that each Christmas, each and every Christmas, untold millions journey to Bethlehem in a spiritual sense. We do that every time we open up the Bible this time of the season. When we read Micah chapter 5, we read Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2, we read Luke chapter 2. We go back into the Old Testament and read Isaiah 7, we read Isaiah chapter 9. Our mind takes us on that journey to Bethlehem in a spiritual sense every time this time of the year. However, I don't think it ought to be just limited to this time of the year. Amen? I said to Brother Steve this morning when he led the song, I said, Steve, maybe this July or August, you know what? Open up to Silent Night, Holy Night. Let's sing in the middle of August, Angels We Have Heard on High. Let's sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And why not? We often take this journey to Bethlehem and some of the songs that we sing, and we limit it to these few weeks. You know, after Thanksgiving, we bring it into our ministries. So each Christmas, we make this journey to Bethlehem in a spiritual sense, and this event brings with it a couple of things. It brings joy. I love this time of the year, especially. Because it seems like even those who during the regular time of the year, their focus might not be on Christmas or the Christmas season or the Christ Mass, you know, the spiritual things. There is an excitement that's in the air. And there is a joy that comes along with that. And I like it. I like going to the marketplace and seeing people with the buttons. Yes, it's okay to wish me Merry Christmas. I like that. And I like saying to somebody when they say to me, have a happy holiday. And I say, oh no, Merry Christmas. And that person goes, Merry Christmas. You know? I love it. There is that excitement. Our worship of the baby Jesus is powerfully gratifying. Opportunity to speak it and share it with others. When maybe this time of the year they'll give you a little bit more of an ear that they probably don't do during the other times of the year. Especially if you give them a gift, you know, you give them something and, oh, I didn't expect this. Well, our God is about giving gifts. He gave the gift of his son. I just want to give you this gift in honor of him. Wow, open door, opportunity. But while Christmas and the events of Christmas brings joy and excitement, and while it can be powerfully gratifying, Christmas can also be an exhausting experience. You see people in the malls? I was listening to two radio personalities the other day. They were talking, listening on the radio. It's one of these stations that are playing 24/7 nonstop Christmas music. And I have my radio in my vehicle set to two stations. So when one goes to commercial, I put on the other one, listen to Christmas music. One goes to commercial, I put back to the other one, listen to Christmas music. I'm in the car, and you know, my car is going boop, 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 boop down the road as we're singing and reflecting on Christ and what he's done, what he continues to do. But the one person asked the other, said, "Do you have all your Christmas shopping done yet?" "Yeah, I got all the important people out of the way. Now I just have a few more to buy for it." I thought, wow. She said, "I have a few more to buy for it." You know, it's those people that you really know you should get them something, because if you don't, they're not going to be happy, but you don't know what to get them, so you just end up buying them anything, this kind of thing. And I'm listening to the conversation back and forth. And then the comment is made, "But I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted now of all this." Sometimes even believers get that way. And if we're not careful, many go back to their normal routine December 26th with a sigh of relief that the whole thing is over. But you know, there is something learned that we find in the steps of the wise men and the words of the wise men with a higher spiritual elevation, a higher spiritual plane. The same thing here we find for you and me as Christians this morning, that even after Christmas, the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ is over, it's not over. In fact, the Christmas message ought to be in our hearts as believers, how many days? How about 365 days a year? 366 on there you go. Thank you very much. It's not over. It shouldn't be over. The message of the Christ of Christmas ought to be with us year-round. Amen? And I know we can get weary, but even the Bible says, don't faint. Don't give up. Don't become weary in well-doing. We're blessed by God as we continue living and serving him. What produces the difference between a new elevation, a new spiritual plateau, a walk of the Spirit, or a letdown feeling? What's the difference when we consider this time of the year? What's the difference when we consider the trees, the trimmings, the lights, the hustle, the bustle, the gifting, the packaging, the wrapping, all of it? What's the difference between continuing on that spiritual plateau, that walk of faith that's exciting and gratifying and all the blessing that comes with it, and coming to the end of a season and just feeling like, whew, done till next year? I think several things make a difference about this, but mainly it's whether Christmas is kept in honor of the Christ child all year round, or if on December 26th we look back on the 25th and said, "Okay, Jesus, you've had your day in the sun, now it's mine again." I think that's referred to as our own selfish pleasure. The question, have you really worshiped Christ this Christmas? I mean, have you found yourself getting alone with God after you've done your lights, your trees, your packagings, all, you know, and all that can be fun. It's kept right. Some wonderful family memories come out of that. But when it's all said and done, do you find yourself still on that spiritual plane, that elevation continuing going forward, onward and upward with Christ, rather than feeling like you've come to the end of the line and then boom, you're on your face and it's over? Or how about you're so excited, you know, God loved this world so much and he gave, and you take that and you love it and you just want to give and you do. You give, you go, and you go to the malls and you pull out your card and your plastic and you charge it all up and that's wonderful. And then February comes, you get your bill and go, ha! And you grab your chest and hit the floor. Only to say, how in the world? What was I thinking? Have you taken some time to get alone to worship the Christ of Christmas? Close your eyes to the lights. Turn some things off. Get in your easy chair. Pull out your cocoa and cookie and grab his word and let him put it all back in perspective. Is there a sense of joy that you find with him at this time of the year? Or are you glad it's nearly over? There's so much that goes on to make it work. And there's so many hopes and aspirations and dreams and inspirations that you have. I'd submit to you that when it's done, it shouldn't really be done. When it's done, it shouldn't really be over. It should continue on its way. Because your mindset is a mindset to lift the Savior. See, the wise men went home with a higher spiritual elevation. Number two, the wise men went home with a changed sense of values. How amazed the wise men's minds must have been as they observed the simplicity of the humble home and as they learned of the Lord Jesus Christ's lowly birthplace. The king born in a stable. Why not a palace? He had slept in a manger from which animals ate, a feed trough. Why not a cradle with ornate coverings and tapestries? This king of the Jews had worn only swaddling clothes. Why not more luxury? Why not royal garments? A carpenter is a child's foster father. Why not a prince? A peasant girl for a mom. Why not a princess? A small community for the place of his birth. Why not a place called Jerusalem? In a royal room, in a royal hall. Perhaps this was God's way of driving home the truth of Matthew 5:5 that the meek shall inherit the earth. I ask myself those questions, and there's a conclusion that comes out of the why nots. Why not a better place to be born? Why not better garments? Why not a better home? Why not better everything for that one that we know is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The fact is that God is not, nor ever will be, impressed by the artificial standards and traditions of men. Amen? Is there anything that you could do now? Is there any presentation you could make? Is there any song you could sing? Any building you could decorate? Any gift you could purchase? That God would look and say,
wow, I want that.
Do you ever think about that? God, with a word, put creation into existence. With a word. With a word, his son is born. Flesh. That one who would be 100% God, 100% man, who left the riches of heaven to become poor for us, that we who are poor will one day experience the riches of heaven. That one who spoke the word and healed. That one who taught the word and changed the course of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of lives, the planet over. That one who went to a cross and stayed there when all he had to do was speak one word and he's gone. And that one today who waits for a word to come back again. Now, God is not, nor ever will be, impressed by the artificial standards and traditions of people. How different is the usual observance of Christmas? So many exhaust themselves physically. So many exhaust themselves financially, trying to impress with more and more expensive gifts and elaborate decorations. Happens all the time. Many fail to remember with faith from the heart that first Christmas in all its magnificent, here's the word, simplicity. You can't get any more simple than a feed trough. You can't get any more simple than a stable. You cannot get any more simple than swaddling clothes. It was Philip Brooks, a minister of the gospel, a pastor. I had the opportunity when I was a young man attending Groton Academy to stay in Brooks' house, which was named for this minister of the gospel, Philip Brooks. He expressed this truth for us when he spoke through this hymn that he penned, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." How silently, the wondrous gift is given, so God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Simplicity and truth, amen? No fanfare. There was no entourage for Christ. In fact, even today, when somebody gives their heart, their soul, their life to Jesus Christ, when they receive him as Savior, there's no real fanfare, at least not on this earth. For the Bible says that there is joy and rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. No fanfare. Not here. It's still simplicity and truth. It's still, thus saith the Lord. It's still, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a third thing I see here about the wise men, and here's my final point. And that is, the wise men went home as better men because they had identified with one truly, truly worthy of worship. We all feel nobler as we identify with great persons. Sometimes you might see your favorite sports celebrity. You see people go to them, "Can I have your autograph? Can I get a picture?" You know, it might be a sports celebrity, might be some kind of a movie celebrity. Or we hear of that political figure, "Oh, they're going to be in town. Ooh, did you see them?" I was reading a news spot yesterday. I don't know how many of you who saw it, it stood out to my mind, and I'll share that with you for one reason. There was a news spot that the singer, her name is Beyonce. You ever hear her? And she was doing a promotion for something, for what she was a part of, and she ended up, I don't know how she ended up there, but she ended up in Tewksbury, Massachusetts. Now, that caught my eye because Tewksbury is my birthplace. That's where I was born. It's a town near Wilmington. In fact, it's funny because when I was younger, living up in that area, the hospital I was born in is now known as Tewksbury State Hospital for people that have some deficiencies. So when somebody says, "Where were you born?" "Oh, Tewksbury Hospital." "Ha! That's the problem. There you go. That's why you are like you are." Of course, like the whole discourse, it wasn't that then. But the news report says she was going through Tewksbury and she had her little daughter, 23-month-old Blue Ivy is her daughter's name, and she stopped into a Walmart, and that was the caption, "Beyonce shops at Walmart." And I thought, you know, I'm sure she wears deodorant too. I mean, that's her job, celebrities, but anyway, she's in that. And I start thinking about that as they showed, you know, they talked about her pushing the carriage with her child and putting stuff in there and buying things. And then she went up to the manager afterwards and she asked the manager, she wanted to present a gift this time of the year to everybody that was in the store shopping. And so the manager put her on the microphone to speak over the store. I thought I should try that here at Walmart. Go and say, "Hey, can I say a few words over your microphone?" You know, but she did, and she wished everybody a Christmas blessing, and then she worked it out with Walmart that she bought everybody in the store a $50 gift card. They had to go to the store and get it. It ended up, they said, her bill came to $37,500. So, I found out first service that Steve DeRozier's done that a couple of times for people in Walmart. So we appreciate Steve's generosity. But I thought that was a nice touch, you know, she wanted to do that and all. But I wonder, you know, people seeing her, could you imagine going through that storm, people seeing her? I wonder how many people turned their carriages and followed her going away from, because why? There's something about feeling nobler when we identify with people that we deem important to hit a certain status. We have the natural desire to relate to outstanding or desire to try to relate to outstanding personalities. But this natural desire can be spoiled if we honor those not worthy of honor. And I'm not saying her. That's not my point. This can happen when we give admiration to people who are not deserving of that admiration. But yet the truly wise of the world, the truly wise of this world, we always are lifted up in heart and soul as we give ourselves in worship and admiration to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. There's never been a moment that He's ever let me down. And there's never been a moment He's ever let you down. I think of countless times where I have let Him down. But He's never failed me, nor has He ever failed you. If we have truly worshiped Him this Christmas, the return to our routine after Christmas, December 26th, if we truly worship Him, then the return to our routine will be characterized with a new sense of identity, just like the wise men. We will realize that the Christmas season is not just now. It's always. The blessing of people from us to others ought to be always. The encouragement of the Word ought to be always. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men should be always. as Jesus went about doing good, our lives should be characterized the same way always. In fact, no person ever has had contact with Jesus Christ in true worship without being changed into a better person. And that should be true of you and me. Christ came into your life. It started in the manger, his mission, the work of the Father. And if you've come to the place to realize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, he went from the manger to finding a place in your heart. And the true spirit of Christmas says, he not only finds a place in your heart, but he's to now find a place in your life. And that's just not lived December 25th. That's lived 365 plus days in each of us. Amen? So as you go back to your normal schedule after the Christmas season, I want you to know you will not have an emotional letdown in the sense that you are relieved that this day is over if you have met the Christ of Christmas and allowed him to change your sense of values as you yield to him in worship and as you continue to rejoice that the way Jesus is still the way to an eternal home for all who trust him. See, in being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Jesus said years later, here in the Gospels, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That is a Christmas message that we're to carry with us and give out wherever we go. Amen? And for as long as we live. Let's pray together.